Today we want to look at this thought. We, everyone, will give an account to God for everything we have done, both good and bad. God will hold us accountable for our behavior. And some say, well, that's just not true, but what if it really is? We need to live our lives as if that is true, because it is. Now, I prefer to preach on faith and healing and deliverance and miracles, and normally that's mostly what I do. But if you're going to get to heaven, you got to know these scriptures here. You got to know the whole truth. I call myself a full gospel preacher. What does that mean? It means I don't leave anything out. If you hang around here a few years, I hit about everything there is to hit. Okay. Now I say, if you stay here 5 years, you'll have a pretty good Bible education, because it's my goal and it's the will of God for me to teach the Word of God, all of it. And if you're on your way to heaven, you need to be concerned about your loved ones that are not. Amen. So we need this message. The Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but He is a God, because He's a God of compassion. We need to know that, but we don't need to overemphasize that. God is not willing that any should perish, because He's a God of compassion, but He's also a God of justice. There's too many people thinking of God as a big teddy bear, you know, and He is a loving Savior, but at the same time, He promises to hold us responsible for our lifestyle and the way we live. And you may not like that. I didn't say I liked it. I just say that's the way it is. Okay. If I wrote the Bible, I'd change some things, but I didn't get to write it. Can you say amen? And I wouldn't dare change anything that's already there, but I mean, on some things, I'd like to have it a little differently. But it's not differently, and I got to live it the way it is as best I can with His help and anointing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, we've been expecting the Lord to come back for 2,000 years. Where is He? He is being compassionate and waiting for you and your loved ones to get saved. He is very patient. God is merciful, but time eventually runs out. Justice will come to each of us. This world that we live in hates God and His rules. And we who preach the truth, they hate us too and call us names. He said, if they hated me, they sure going to hate you. Okay. So they can conveniently deny God's existence. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind to do those things that are not proper. They just feel like, well, this is okay. They just make up their own rules, and they're doing things that really are displeasing to God, but they have decided that's the way they want to live. And so God is just, it says, turned them over to depraved mind. It doesn't say He gave them a depraved mind. He allows them to continue in that depraved thinking they're okay when they're not. And that's why you need preachers like me that are climbing to the pulpit and just read the scriptures and show them there's a day coming where everyone is going to give an account for everything we've said and done. And you can say, I don't believe it, but you will show up at that judgment day. And so will I. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, and that's the generation we live in right now. People love darkness more than they love the truth, because if they live by the truth, they're going to have to give up some things they don't want to give up. I've discovered if I just go ahead and serve God, He'll take care of me and meet my needs. The men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And verse 20, and everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And born-again believers on the way to heaven, believing God for health and healing, deliverance, and all the miracle power of God, we need to know these scriptures. And we need to pray that our loved ones will have the blinders taken off, so that they can see that Jesus is the answer to everything they need. The light has come into this world, but people are rejecting it. But why is all this evil? Where is God? Well, God has presented the truth, but the people have rejected it. That's why. That's why. Why all these murders? Because people rejected the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. It's not God. Blaming God. We need to blame ourselves for not fasting and praying and believing God for revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the problem. They will not acknowledge God because they love their evil deeds. So people bring condemnation and judgment on themselves, and God would just let them do it. That's what it means. Just turn them over, turn them over to that depraved mind they already have, and just let them do their wickedness, but they will stand in judgment. And it's not just in the next life either. God brings judgment in this life upon evil people. If you don't believe that, just look around. They may appear to be doing pretty good right now, but sooner or later they're going to be in big trouble or dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them. Every one of us, down deep, we know there's a God. It's in us. God put it there. A measure of faith. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. People have no excuse. We can deceive ourselves. I came to the conclusion a long time ago, deception is a choice. You want to believe something, so you decide you're going to believe it. And you deceive your own self or allow the devil to do it. Verse 20, because inside, down deep, you know what's right. Verse 20, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. They are without excuse. An atheist has no excuse because God has made the knowledge of himself evident within them and to them. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man has some evidence, some revelation in them that God is real. They can't deny it, but it is because it's still there, God put it there. One of our church members had a husband that was an atheist. He hated me. He hated the church. He hated what I preached. And I remember he came to church one Sunday just to stand in the back and stare me down. It's years ago when we were over there in the where the fellowship hall is now, he stood there and through the sermon stood there and just stared me down. And the more he stared, the more I preached. Can you say glory to God? Yeah. But I was praying for him. I've discovered a weapon against anybody that don't like me. It's called prayer. Can you say amen? And God will show up. And God, you know, Paul's situation, Elymas was hindering him from preaching the gospel, and he commanded him to go blind. He went blind. So the man of God has a lot of authority and power other people don't even realize. And so God will defend and fight for you if you just preach the truth, speak the truth. So I was praying for him, and then one day, in a time of great trouble, he spoke to God while sitting in a bar. He said, God, if you're real, why don't you do something? Now, why would an atheist talk to God? They don't believe in God. They say they don't, but they can't help it. They do. There's a measure of faith that God put there. Down deep, they know. There's an evidence in them that God, it doesn't mean they're saved and going to heaven. It means that God is dealing with them to bring them to salvation. God said in the bar, how many know God goes to bars? Amen. So if you go to a bar, God knows you're there. Because he's already there. But he's not there to participate in their wickedness. He's there to save people, draw people to Jesus Christ. And that's what he was doing in this case. God said out loud in the bar. Now, this is what the man told me. What do you want me to do? Audible voice in the bar. He whirled around to see who was there. And then he realized that that voice was on the side of his deaf ear. So God was working a miracle to get this man's attention. Down deep, he knew there's a God, or he wouldn't have been talking to God. Y'all paying attention yet? See, when we know this, we know we really have an advantage because God's already working on our loved ones. We just need to do everything He tells us to do. They may have an evidence in them, but they need to know that you must be born again. They need to know it's through Jesus Christ. And that is where we come in. You see, he realized the voice was on his left side. He was deaf in that ear. He came to me in my office. He told me what happened and then said, "Preacher, I believe I'm losing my mind." I said, "You're not losing your mind. God is speaking to you." He gave his life to Jesus and served him the rest of his life. He turned to God in desperation because there was something inside of him testifying there is a God. And so I had him to come back to my office for a series of meetings, and I taught him the Word of God myself. And he lived for God and served God until a few years ago he died with a heart attack, went to heaven. He had went the other way if it hadn't been for that thing in him drawing him in. Well, why don't God do something? He is doing something. It's time we did something. Every man has something inside testifying to the truth. Therefore, the Word says they are without excuse, and we are without excuse for not doing our part and telling people about Jesus Christ, our true Lord and Savior. You can have a knowledge of God in you and turn to Buddha. Amen. But we need to let people know they need to turn to Jesus. But a person needs more than an awareness that God exists. They need to know God's plan, and that plan is Jesus Christ. Every person needs the gospel. That is, as I just said, where we come in. Because I was and others were praying for this atheist, we didn't give up on him even though he was trying to be mean to us. God brought him to me and he accepted the Lord in my office. So let's pray that God would speak to our loved ones as he did this atheist. If speaking out loud to them, I believe would work. If speaking out loud to them is what they need, I believe God will do that, whatever. God does not desire that anyone should perish. God has done and will do everything he can do to keep us out of hell. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, not willing that any should perish, not willing. Don't tell me it's God's will for people to go to hell. Jesus died on a cross to keep you out of hell. God spoke to me, "The only vision of hell I'm giving you is the rich man and Lazarus." I heard some preachers come through and they were testifying about how God gave them a vision of hell and it totally changed their ministry. And they started getting more people saved and the miracle power of God began to work in the ministry. So I said, "Lord, I want you to give me a vision of hell." And he said, "The only vision of hell I'm giving you is the rich man and Lazarus." And when he said that, it did become my vision. When I close my eyes, I can still see that rich man in those flames. Now look, Matthew 16:26, it says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" I look at some of these Hollywood actors, and I mean, they literally have gained the whole world. Their name is known all over the world. But if they're not born again, they go into the devil's hell. Well, how mean of you to say that. No, it's loving of me to say it because they need to know that. Okay, I'd want to know if I was deceived, wouldn't you? I may be deceived in some area, but not about salvation. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So if you're spending all your time working for a new big limousine, a new big house, or working for fame and fortune day and night, you're on the wrong path. You need to be working to please God, get things right with God, and let God worry about your future. Amen. God's got a good future. Yes. for every one of us. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Somebody need to hear that. Do not be deceived. In Luke 19:10, for the man of God, for the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I came for that one reason, to keep people out of hell. How can God send anybody to hell? He doesn't send people to hell. We're already on our way to hell if we're not born again. And he specifically said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might have life. Condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction does. Drawing people into the kingdom does. The condemnation is of the devil. He's the one that's telling you you're worthless, dirty old worm. God didn't create any worthless, dirty old worms. Well, you don't know what I've done. Well, that's okay. God knows what you've done. And he's still drawing you into the kingdom. Listen to him. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Y'all like these scriptures? Most people don't even know these are in the Bible, but they are. God does not predestine people to hell. He came to seek and rescue the lost. And the scriptures I've already given you proves that, if you believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, I have no hope of convincing you of anything. Luke 16:22, Lazarus and the rich man. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels came, carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. His body was in the ground. Verse 23, in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So what is hell? People debate that all the time. Well, I don't believe it's fire. I don't believe it's that. I don't believe it's that. Well, let me tell you what it is. It's a place of torment. And it's going to be the worst place you've ever been. So just quit worrying about what it is and don't go there. Verse 24, so he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Notice his father Abraham. He was a Jew. But God expects even Jews to serve him and obey him. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. And I've heard people say, well, the spirit can't be tormented. He doesn't have your flesh. You have to have your flesh to be tormented. This man's flesh was buried in the ground, and yet he's still tormented. The spirit man is being tormented. I'm just showing you what he says. We can come up with all these little theories and little ideas, but on Judgment Day, they're going to be absolutely worthless. They're worthless right now. They can wind up sending you to the wrong place. The NIV, the New King James Version, says, I am tormented in this flame. It doesn't say necessarily the flame is tormenting him. It's something in the flame tormenting him, demons and devils. Something was tormenting him within the flames. It doesn't say the flames weren't burning, but doesn't specifically say it was the torment. He says, I am tormented in. You see, when the rich man died, he was not annihilated, but found himself in a place of torment. And a lot of preachers preach today, well, when you die, you're dead like a dog. You're not going to hell or heaven. Or if you're born again, you go to heaven. But if you're not saved, you die like a dog. The Bible doesn't say that. You can take a chance if you want to. It's your eternity. Abraham basically said, it is too late for you. I cannot help you. He said, it's a great gut fix. And no matter what, I couldn't get to you anyway. And neither can Lazarus. So this is a true story. That rich man is still in those flames. Well, it's just a parable. In a parable, Jesus did not give names. Here it says Lazarus. But what if it is a parable? Parables were used to present a truth. The truth is, if you die not being right with God, you're going to go to hell, a lake of fire. Well, I don't believe that. Well, You will believe it when you get there. You need to believe it right now to make things right. See, preachers who backpedal on this and don't preach the truth, they're not your friend. They don't love you. They don't care about you, or they'd tell you the truth. Boy, I'm glad somebody told me the truth. I went to Vacation Bible School at a Baptist church. Thank God for the Baptists, because they will teach you the Word of God. I went to this little Vacation Bible School. This preacher got up at the end of the week, and he talked about heaven and talked about hell. I've never claimed to be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I could figure out heaven was better than hell, so I chose heaven. Well, preaching hell doesn't do any good. It doesn't work. Just preach the love of God. It worked on me. I found out about the love of God after I accepted Him, and then I realized what a loving God He is. Can you say amen? But even at Vacation Bible School, I felt the love of God. But I knew one thing. In my spirit, hell was real, and I wasn't going to go there. Amen. 11 years old. You can make decisions when you're very young if you have the right information. Right. And a lot of Americans today do not have the information. They need to make a good decision concerning God and concerning eternity. That's why you need to be in this church or one like it. Amen. That's the main reason. And then a church like this, and you can get healed and delivered and be blessed on your way to heaven. Amen. You can get fire insurance and still have God's blessings and favor on your life for this life. Amen. Amen. It's called the full gospel. The second death is not annihilation. It is eternal punishment. God spoke to me, the only vision of hell I'm giving you is a rich man and a Lazarus. And I'm telling you right now, this has become a revelation to me, and I know it's true. I'm not just telling you what I believe. I know it's true. It's a revelation that God's given me. A Day in Hell by Tate Publishing tells a story of a man named Matthew Botsford, Botsford. You can look this up. You can Google anything and everything, you know, and find this. And he was on CBN 700 Club, or one of those programs years ago. Matthew Botsford was shot in the head in Atlanta by a stray bullet. He was downtown. I think it was a hotel, and he was there for business. Successful businessman. Walked out on the street, and somebody was shooting at someone else and hit him in the head and killed him. Just like that, he was in eternity. Well, I'm going to get saved tomorrow. You might want to go ahead and do it today. He died and found himself in hell. Now, this is his testimony. You can look it up. Go get it read yourself. He was in darkness but could see smoke coming up out of a deep pit. Demons were clawing at him. Hot lava was splattering on him and burning him. He was in terrible pain. Remember, his body, that was the spirit man. His body was dead, according to the doctors. He said he heard awful screams emanating from the depths of hell. None of the screams were intelligible, just cries of pain, loss, and anguish. We need to consider this. But the hand of God caught him around the waist and rescued him. He and his wife were atheists. But after this experience, they both became devout Christians, and they're traveling all over the country preaching God's truth. Amen. God used that to save him. He used a voice, an audible voice in a bar to save our friend that was an atheist here in this church. God is out to get you. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, I'm a backslider. Well, the Bible says he's married to you. Come on. He's married to backsliders. And don't you ever think for 1 minute that God wants you to be lost. He's paid too high a price to want you to be lost. He not only wants you to serve him, he wants you to be blessed in this life. As I already have quoted, I know the plans, Jeremiah, I know the plans that have for you, declares the Lord, plans to bless you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. God's on your side. Everything in this life is not going to work out the way you want. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have broken hearts. But as I said earlier, when I was praying for Joanne and her family, Jesus came not only to save us, but to heal the broken heart while we're still here. It's a good God. It's a good God. And even when we mess up and screw up, he still helps us. When a people continue to rebel against God and his word, God's wrath will come. He's compassionate. He's slow, but it will come. God's mercy is given the secular humanists and Marxists and all the rebels and devils in this country some time to repent. Some interpret God's mercy as slackness. Well, God's not going to do anything. Oh, he is going to do something. But time is running out. He's going to do something. Matthew 12:36. But I say to you that for every idle, careless word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. In the day of judgment, we will give an account for everything we have said and done. And you say, well, I've said and done some bad things. What can I do? Repent and get them under the blood so God can't see them. Yay. Get them under the blood. Ask God to forgive you right here, right now. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, preacher, how do I know he has forgiven me? Let me say it again. Listen, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. That's how we know. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we just confess our sins to him. You don't have to confess them to me. You want to be careful about confessing stuff to preachers because it may wind up in a sermon. But I'm very careful never to do that. I have some good stories I could tell, but I can't tell them because I don't want to embarrass anybody. Can you say something? I said say something. Something. This is why every sin must be under the blood. Well, I don't think I've done anything wrong. Well, just confess everything you think of. 2 Corinthians, but God will, if it's something that bothers God, he'll convict you. He'll let you know. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear. Explain all to me. What does all mean? Except for the college professors that teach our kids, the Ten Commandments are irrelevant. Are they in that all? For we all must appear. Does that include all the demonic politicians and demonic evil preachers? Yes. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The secular humanists are going to answer to God for the new morality that is destroying America unless they repent. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he meaning Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the one whom God appointed to judge the living and the dead. He's your Savior, he's your Lord, he's your shepherd, he's your deliverer today, but tomorrow he's going to be your judge. Tomorrow meaning judgment day. And there it is, black and white. You don't have to believe it. You can make a choice to be deceived, but that's what it says. He commanded us to preach to the people. Now this is Peter. He said, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, Jesus, is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Jesus Christ has been appointed judge. We are all accountable to him, and he'll be judging us by this book. This irrelevant book. It's not irrelevant. And people who preach the truth are not bigots. They don't hate people. They love people enough to speak the truth. Well, I have some dear friends. The last thing I ever want to do is make them feel bad or say things that might hurt their feelings. But I love them enough when I have the opportunity to speak the truth. In love. You don't go around beating people up because they live a different lifestyle. You love them like they are. And you're a good Samaritan to people you don't even like. Matthew 25, verse 31. Look at this. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now, this is Jesus preaching this. And if you say you don't believe it, you're saying you don't believe the Son of God. All the nations will be gathered before Him. All. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. As you know, I changed the goats to pigs. I'm a farm boy. Okay, we didn't have goats, thank God. We had one or two and got rid of them. Okay, there's something else. Sheep from the pigs, the goats. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. What's he doing? He's describing the Good Samaritan. Yeah. He said, you're a good Samaritan to me. You helped me when I was laying in a ditch bleeding and dying, so to speak. Isn't that something? The way you get to heaven is love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he described the neighbor by telling the story of the good Samaritan that stopped and helped the Jew in the ditch. And he says, you go and do what this Samaritan did. And here it is on Judgment Day. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. You were a good Samaritan, and you gave me a biscuit with a little gravy. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you bought me a suit of clothes. I was sick, and you visited me and prayed for me that I might be healed. Those people on that right side be thinking, when do we do all of this? And he said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. See, he is describing the Good Samaritan, verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Be careful how you treat people. And it's not talking about just Christians or your family. It's talking about being a good Samaritan to people you don't even like. And maybe people that hate you. Doesn't mean you become a doormat, but it does mean you don't hate people. You love people and help them if you can. When a white man helps a black man, he's helping Jesus. This race thing is going to send people to hell. Because you're mistreating somebody, you're mistreating Jesus. When a black man mistreats a white man, he's mistreating Jesus. When any of us mistreats a Jew or a Hispanic or anyone for any reason, he says, you did it to me, buddy. Matthew 25:41, then he will also say to those on the left side, and you don't want to be on that side. I said, how many don't want to be on that side? Depart from me. He will also say to those on the left side, depart from me, you curse, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Because, oh, he'll make deception. He'll let me in. God is not going to allow sin into heaven. It'd be just another wicked earth if he did. He's not going to allow it in. Hell was not prepared for us, but for the devil and his angels. Look at this. He will also say to those on the left side, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared, not for humans, prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you hang out with the devil and his angels, that's where you're going to spend eternity. You're going to spend eternity with them. That's what he says. Right, I just read it. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And if the Bible is not the work of God, what do we have to give us the word of God? It is the word of God. If it works for soul salvation, it's truth, and it works for anything else. Hell was not prepared for us, but for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you wasn't a good Samaritan. You walked by on the other side. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I preached about the Good Samaritan, a couple of weeks ago, in case you weren't here. Get that sermon. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. There's no perfect people, folks, but this needs to be our goal in life, not just to pull everybody off the ladder and go up ourselves, but to help everybody else get up the ladder, to be a blessing to other people, to bless those who are in need. Amen. Amen. Verse 45, then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. When we mistreat anyone, he says, you're mistreating me. I try to remember that every day. Matthew 25:46. That means that driver in front of me that don't know how to drive. I just got to love him and pray for him. Can you say amen? Lord, teach this guy how to drive. Matthew 25:46. And of course, he's praying for me that God teach me how to drive. Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. Well, you can deceive yourself. You don't have to believe that. But if you got loved ones that's not saved, you need to believe that. Not just for yourself, if you're saved, believe God for them. And when you're fasting and praying, don't just be fasting and praying for another car or another house. It's okay to pray that, fast and pray that your needs will be met, but Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you really begin to put the salvation of other people ahead of your car and your house, God will give you the car and the house. Amen. Are you doing God's work first? Does anyone believe Jesus? He's the one saying this. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? St. Paul. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. How many times does the Word of God have to say that? Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 6. Well, how do I get righteous? If we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let the devil put condemnation on you and make you feel bad. If there's something in your life you know that's not pleasing to God, confess it as sin and ask him to help you not to do it again. And if you do it again, confess it again. Never give up. Keep believing him until you get the victory. Somebody say amen. Amen. That needed an amen. Amen. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. There it is again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Do not be deceived. We will reap what we sow. Repent right now. Make things right. A lot of times people complain about the bad things happening to them. Very often they're just reaping what they sowed. Revelations 20:10, the devil who deceived them, that's the problem. He's the deceiver and the liar and the murderer. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, so he's going to be cast right in there with all the wicked people. It was designed for him, as a matter of fact, and his demons and his wicked angels. So Satan himself is behind all deception. Don't let him deceive you. Do not let him deceive you, and pray that he will not be able to deceive your family. Most important, come to Jesus right now. Listen.
Thank you.